Hi, everybody. It's been a long time since I did a podcast, and it's high time I did another one. And I've been going to plenty of things recently that are worth reflecting on. And I'd like to thank Carla Arena, a fellow webhead, for prompting me to do this. Last week, I attended a Creative Commons roadshow, which is a panel of speakers on the topic of Creative Commons, which is traveling around Australia at the moment, addressing the topic of Creative Commons. And I found it really valuable because many of the speakers were outside of the world of education, which is where I normally sit, and most of the input that I get about things to do with e-learning and associated topics are from the world of education. This was an opportunity to see how people outside that sector were thinking about Creative Commons. It was kicked off by Professor Brian Fitzgerald, who spoke at length about Creative Commons and started by making the point that Creative Commons cannot exist without copyright. It is a license. It's not about abolishing copyright. But Creative Commons does, in effect, equal what's known as copyleft because it turned copyright on its head. The Creative Commons form of licensing changed copyright from a mechanism of control to a mechanism of sharing and freedom to share. The next speaker on the program was Gavin Arts from the Australian Network for Art and Technology, and he referred to a magazine that they published called Filter. And he was one of the speakers who mentioned several examples of what are referred to as new business models. In this world of Web 2, where you are encouraged to basically give away your content, make it freely available for download and remix, how do you make money? What are the business principles behind doing what seems to be crazy if you have product that you want to make money from? He talked about this magazine, Filter, and mentioned that since they had made it Creative Commons, that they've actually reduced costs in the production of the magazine because so much of their time used to be associated with getting permissions to publish material according to the correct copyright. He noted that they don't license everything for Creative Commons. Where they can, they use Creative Commons, but if there's a commercial advantage not to use it, well, they will sometimes do that. I think the highlight of the panel of speakers for me was Elliot Bledsoe, and he had lots of examples of people who've been doing things with Creative Commons where it's turned a commercial advantage. He referred to the example of Cory Doctorow, who licenses all his novels Creative Commons in what he calls a sharing economy. And Doctorow refutes the notion that a download equals lost sales. Typically, say in the music or the publishing industry in general, that's the rule of thumb, that downloads equals lost sales. Bledsoe, in referring to Cory Doctorow, says that only a tiny minority of people who download his book represents lost sales because most people who download content were never going to buy it anyway. A far larger minority of people are enticed by the e-book version of Doctorow's content and buy it. So it has, in fact, in this case, resulted in increased sales. One of his books had 30,000 downloads in the first 24 hours it was available. The book was down and out in the Magic Kingdom. It has since then had six print runs and been translated into eight different languages. He mentions the example of a film called Cafoon from Brazil. That may not be pronounced correctly. But Brazil apparently has the same problems that Australian filmmakers have. It's rare for a Brazilian film to show in cinemas for more than 2 weeks. So after the initial run of this movie, Cafoon, I guess we're talking about the director, of the movie, put a Creative Commons licensed version online with a different ending, and encouraged people who enjoyed it to lobby to have the film returned to the cinemas where they would see the original ending. This promotion worked, and the film was returned to the cinemas, and it got into the list of top 20 films in Brazil at the time. Another film, Sita Sings the Blues by Nina Paley, has made $50,000 through donations, the sale of DVDs, and the sale of merchandise associated with that movie. But perhaps the example that intrigued me most was that of Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, the music group. Trent Reznor went to their record company and said that they would like to release some instrumental music. And the record company said, you're a rock band that normally has a singer, it won't work, we won't support it. They terminated their contract with the record company, and they put up 9 instrumental tracks for free download and remix. They also alerted users to another 36 instrumental tracks that were Creative Commons licensed, but you had to buy them. They allowed, via Creative Commons, the remix of this content, and offered a number of payment options. The result was they made $750,000 from this material that the record company said would never sell. They were curious about why, when they were offering so much music that could be downloaded for free or remixed and sent among your friends, why people were willing to pay for it. And they got feedback from their community, the user group who listened to this music, that they wanted to support them because they realized that if they bought the music, it would support the artists and they'd be able to go on doing what they were doing, which was providing some free content, some content for remix, some content which was relatively cheap, other content which was more expensive. What they had in fact done was created a community around their music who were willing to support the commercial enterprise of Trent Reznor. The latest album, apparently by the same person, Trent Reznor, when released on the net, had 1.4 million downloads. Then they put it into the record stores and it went into the top 20. So these are examples of new business models which prove that with some thought, you can provide content for free and also realize profit by the more traditional means of people paying for some of your content. There was another really intriguing presentation from 3 young men here in Adelaide who call themselves Wholesale Meat Direct. They've set up a record store in the city here in Adelaide, and the purpose of their store is to promote local music on the internet, all licensed with Creative Commons. So there's a physical space, there's a record store or a CD shop where people can go and buy the content in the shop. You can go into the shop and download music, again, all licensed CC. You can go into the shop and upload your own music onto their servers that can be downloaded. So far, they're not turning a profit. They are paying the rent. But I just thought it was intriguing that they provided a physical space for people to do what most people can do at home alone on the internet. That is, download music for free without having to go to a physical location to do it. And when asked about this, their answer was very simple. The answer was, there's something about people meeting. So this young group of, let's call them entrepreneurs, have provided a space where people can come and download music, buy CDs, all to promote local music and also to promote the notion of Creative Commons. Another really encouraging presentation was around the whole notion of information in the public sector in Australia, that is government information, being licensed Creative Commons. For example, the last set of budget papers from the Australian government were all licensed Creative Commons. The government information and licensing framework have published a book about Creative Commons, and the way they've approached it is that they made a deal with the publishers that there would be a time where the book was only available through traditional means, that is, you had to go to a bookstore or order it and pay for it, but after a period of time, the book would be released on the internet for free download. Another example of a new business model. I was kind of pleased to hear, too, that the Australian Bureau of Statistics, who really publish a lot of really useful data, has long been an example, a leading example of using Creative Commons license. In fact, it's now mandatory for any information published by the Australian Bureau of Statistics that it be CC licensed. So a really useful workshop, or roadshow as it was called, where a lot of new models were presented, and it made me think that really education has simply got to get its act together, because there are other examples of society, government indeed, and in the arts and music that are using Creative Commons and realizing a commercial advantage. Cheers.